And if you could keep your Bibles open, one thing I forgot to mention was that being with BCA, we're flying the BCA flag as well, the Bush Church Aid flag, and some of you might receive the prayer notes in the mail. These are the prayer notes, and this is the Real Australian little magazine that comes out. They come out quarterly, and so we write in those, and so you can pray for the work all around Australia that BCA is doing and find out a little bit more that way. And if you want a postcard of us and stick on your fridge, we've got some of those out the back as well. So you can remember us and pray for us, and that would be great. So there's an opportunity to get on our newsletter. I know our newsletter gets copied and put out there, but if you want to receive that direct, then please write your name down on the list. If you already received the prayer notes and not our newsletter, then just make that clear on the thing. But we'd love to be able to send that to you. Email is good, and we can just send those out and you can pray for us more specifically. But we want to say thank you for your partnership, because that partnership is just so important to us. The partnership in the gospel as we go about doing the work that God has us to do. And I know God has us all to do a work. We look at God's purposes, his purposes in the world, and we see right at the very beginning, God's purposes is for a perfect creation. And then we look at the end of the Bible and we see that God's plan is for a perfect recreation, new earth, where God is making everything new. No more mourning, no more crying, no more pain. That is what God has planned. The thing is, something went wrong there, didn't it? Back there in the beginning, the perfection was marred by sin when people rebelled against God. And we do that, don't we, when we rebel against God. But how does God get us from that marred situation, a fallen world that we live in and we see it daily, to that perfection to come? Well, we see it in Jesus, don't we? What Jesus came to do for us. That Jesus came to die, to take the punishment that we deserve, and to rise again, to give us hope, to give us new life. And that is God's focus of his plan. And so as we're in Lightning Ridge, the focus of our plan is to, well, to know Jesus more and more and to make him known more and more, because that is the centre of God's plan. He's the centre of our lives and he's the centre of what we are doing. And so the partnership that we have with you guys is all about that. And so we want to say thank you for that. And so everything that you do in praying for us is all about that, getting Jesus out there. But I know it's not just us, but it's all of us. We're all to be on the same team. And we've all got the same task as believers, as followers of Jesus. That is our task all together. And we do that together. And so I hope it's a mutual encouragement. As we're out there, you guys are out here in your community. I know it's an exciting time this year with Connect09 and all the things going on, so that we can grow more and more, both spiritually and in numbers as well. And so that is a good thing. But how do we do that? And I think that's where this passage comes in handy. It gives some very practical, down-to-earth ideas about how we go about this task, the task that we have in Lightning Ridge and the task that you guys have here. And the task that, that God has us to do, well, is to share about Jesus. Now, you might say, well, that's scary. I'm no evangelist. I'm no gifted evangelist. I'm not a missionary. And it's hard. And let me tell you, it is hard. And if you think that that's hard and it's challenging and it sort of gets the blood pressure up a little bit and it's a little bit puts us on edge, that puts you in the normal category. All of us, I think, I find it hard to talk about Jesus in Lightning Ridge. I find it hard at times to bring up Jesus in a conversation, particularly amongst friends and family and things like that. And so it is hard. It's hard. It's hard for all of us. But there is a task and God has a purpose and we need to share about this good news. And so sometimes we don't know what to say, and that's often true. But what does Paul say in this section in Colossians? Because what he says is, devote yourself to prayer, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, and talking about our conversation. What are we to be doing? I want to get one thing straight before we talk about this passage. And that is that we need to get, we need to know that we are the messengers and that God does the converting. Okay, I think we can all breathe a sigh of relief and just relax, because our job is not to convert people. That's not our job. Okay, if our job was to convert people, that's a pretty big task to undertake. We can leave that up to God, thankfully. Our job, though, is to just be the messenger. In our lives, in our words, in all the things that we do as we go about our daily lives. And so I think we can relax and know that God is the one that acts in the hearts and souls of people. And we don't need to be doing that. So let's just relax there for a moment and think, well, that's good. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a sec. But it's God that does the converting. If we get that mixed up, it becomes very confusing. And we start thinking that we're God and we need to convert people now and do this and do that. And so I think we can just relax and just go about our daily lives. So if you got it, our job is not to convert. We're just messengers, all right? God's job is to convert. Now, here in Colossians, there's two very practical things about how to go about this job of communicating this message as communicators, as messengers. And it's for all of us. It's not just for the Apostle Paul. It's not just for us in Lightning Ridge. It's for all of us. Paul is particularly asking the Colossian church to pray for him. But what does he say? He says, devote yourself to prayer. In fact, three times in three sentences, he says, pray. Devote yourself to prayer. Pray for doors to be opened and pray that the message can be proclaimed clearly. Pray, pray, pray. Three times. It's something that's important when it's said three times. It's something that focuses our eyes and focuses our attention. Pray. What is prayer? Prayer is an act of dependence upon God, isn't it? If you don't pray, you're not depending upon God. Okay, a lot of the time we go about our daily lives not praying, don't we? We go about doing our own things, our own plans, our own actions. And even if they might be godly things, we might do it without God. Then they become godless actions. And so prayer is speaking to the God of the universe, the great and awesome God, and bringing him, I suppose, into our activities. No, we're engaged with God. God engages us. And so we need to make sure that God is playing the rightful role that he ought to be playing, and that is by praying and communicating with him and speaking to him, asking him, praising him, thanking him, praying, praying, praying. Praying is just a simple activity. We don't need to do anything special. It's just talking to the God of the universe. It's not really that special. No, it's very special. It's a great privilege we have, but we can do it anywhere, anytime, and we can pray to him about anything. It's a fantastic privilege we have to pray, and it's a great thing that we don't use often enough. And so we need to be praying all the time. Praying for what? Well, we need to devote ourselves to prayer firstly. Devote ourselves means being committed to praying, and that's a challenge, isn't it? Make sure we commit to prayer. I think some of the things, we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to pray. I think pray as you do, pray as you can. Not as you don't, not as you can't. And so pray, whatever the circumstances, whether you're on the train going into the city to work. Gee, I feel sorry for you guys. Our nearest traffic light is 250 kilometres away in Moree. If you're sitting in traffic, well, there's a good opportunity to pray, isn't it? But prayer, you can pray anywhere, anytime, about anything. It's a great opportunity. So when you're sitting in that traffic, think of Lightning Ridge. Think of the trafficless place it is. When you're sitting on the train, crowded around people. Yeah, sorry for you guys. Lightning Ridge is a great place to live. Come, move. We want Christian families to come. Pray, 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 pray. What are we praying for? We were praying for God to open the doors too, aren't we? God is the one that opened doors. You often see people, and I think this is the typical image of the evangelist, the breaking down the door. I want to tell you the gospel. Bash. You know, breaking down the doors, trying to open those doors, forcing those doors to open. I know, I used to be a lot like that. And look, God works through that. I know he does. He does work through us, works through all those circumstances. But I think we can relax. We don't have to be like that, bashing down doors, because we're praying. What? We're praying for God to open the door. Okay, we can relax. When it comes to telling people about Jesus, it's God that opens the door. And so pray that God would open the door. I think often the times we think, oh, you know, I find it hard to share about Jesus. Well, that's often maybe because we don't pray. Or there's no opportunities in my workplace or amongst my family. Well, it might often be because we don't pray. But also remember that God answers prayer in three different ways. Yes, no, and wait. Be patient. Okay, so God might not answer your prayer that day about opening the door, but he will. It's a prayer that he wants to answer, opening the door for his message about Jesus to go out. So we can relax. We don't have to be stressing about God opening the door, because God will open the door in his timing, at his in his purpose and his plan, not our purpose and our plan and my timing. You know, I want to do it now. I get frustrated when the doors don't open. Come on, God, what are you doing? I want to tell the gospel. I want to tell people about Jesus. But it's God. He's the one that opens the door. So we pray that God would open the door for us. And when he does open the door, give thanks. And what else do we pray for? Well, the third thing there is that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, the good news about Jesus, revealing Jesus to those who don't know him. That is why it's a mystery, because there's many people that don't know about Jesus, and that we're proclaiming that. And what do? We proclaim it so we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, and we proclaim it clearly, as I should. Okay, there's no use in the whole communication thing if it's not proclaimed clearly. And so we ask God for the right words to say. And so then again, we can relax, because God will give us the right words to say. God is a good God. He's a faithful God. And when we pray to him, he will answer our prayers when we pray according to his will. And here we have prayers according to his purpose, don't we? That God would open the door, that we may proclaim it clearly as we should. And so that's a good thing that God wants to answer. Pray that we can have the words to say. I don't see myself as someone very eloquent, but I know God gives me the words to say at those moments, the right words to say. If I don't pray, well, then there's no dependence on me, is there? No, I'm not depending upon God. And so we need to pray. There's no calling upon God to act. When we don't pray, God's left completely out of the picture. And so we need to pray. Pray for you. Pray for yourself. Pray for your family. Pray. Please pray for us in Lightning Ridge. As Paul is asking the Colossians to pray for him, well, we ask for you to be praying as you do for us in Lightning Ridge. It's a great encouragement. We need your prayers. Stop wondering why God doesn't give us opportunities. Well, let's keep praying. Let's keep praying. He's the one. It's in his timing that works. And so we need to trust him, depend upon him. And we do that in our prayers. What's the next thing? Prayer. Apart from prayer, the next thing he talks about is being wise. Okay, we see that prayer is the God action that happens. Well, what's our action? God doesn't work in a vacuum. He doesn't work by himself. Gee, I wish there would be a big microphone that had come down out of the sky and say, you know, Jesus died for all of you. Come on, wake up, everybody. But God doesn't work like that. God uses people, and he uses us, each one of us, no matter who we are, with whatever gifts that we have, he uses us. Okay, and what do we need to do here? Well, to be wise. That's our action. That's what we need to be doing as we act in this world, as we go around. Well, it's to act. Look at verse 5 there. It says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. It's about being wise, not foolish. Okay, when we're talking about spreading Jesus, we don't want to put barriers up. And often our actions put barriers up, whatever they might be. It might put barriers up to sharing about Jesus. And so we need to be wise about how we go about doing it. Going up to somebody on the street and saying, oi, you, have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? That might be a bit of a barrier. I don't know. I'm pretty sure I've told this story here before. We were down at Bronte, or down somewhere where there was an esplanade, six lanes of traffic, and people spilling out, having their dinner. And there was a bloke with a loud megaphone shouting over six lanes of traffic. He had the right words to say. He was talking about Jesus, but I don't know whether it was the most appropriate circumstance for sharing about Jesus when people were trying to enjoy their... You know, that might be a barrier for some people. Again, God works even despite us, but yeah... our actions are important. How we go about doing things are important. You might have heard the saying that your actions are speaking so loud that I can't hear what you're saying. Your actions are speaking so loud I can't hear what you're saying. So when we want to talk about our faith, when we want to talk about what Jesus has done, well, perhaps our actions might be speaking far too loud. Maybe our actions don't line up. We need to make sure that our actions line up with the message that we're speaking of. There's that other saying that says, you know, there are five Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you. Okay, because non-believers, they don't read the Bible, do they? They don't read the Bible, but they read us. They read Christians. They look at us. They analyze us. They see what our actions are, whether we're preaching, living out what we preach, whether we're walking the talk. And so they read us. They read our actions. And so we need to be living good lives, lives that are in accordance with what God has done for us, and so that they can listen to what we say. So we need to be wise in the way we act towards outsiders. Be wise, not foolish. It's not just living the good life, okay? Because I know many non-Christians that live a good life, a good and upright life. Many more that live a good and upright life, many more than the Christians do in many areas. And so where the Apostle Peter, he says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. That's something for all of us. To be giving a reason for the hope that you have is just responding to the question, isn't it? Why do you act that way? As you're going through these hard times, why do you have a peace about you? Why is it that you go through grief and all these griefs upon griefs in this world, do you still have hope? You know, I would have given up years ago to see what you're going through. Okay, it's why do you have this hope? It's just responding to the question, isn't it? We can relax. We don't need to be bashing down doors. It's responding to people who ask us those questions. We had a bloke's barbecue night a couple of weeks ago where we go out to a camp and we have a campfire and sit under the beautiful stars of Lightning Ridge. Can you guys see stars out here? Lightning Ridge is a great place to live. Stars. We're sitting around, we put the hot potatoes in the coals of the fire, and we put sausages on the fire as well, on the hot plate, and we just sit around as blokes and we have a good yarn. And a couple of weeks ago some of us were sharing stories and sharing our journeys as Christians. And our lives aren't perfect. We it's not a bed of roses. We go through suffering, we go through trials, all that sort of thing. Anyway, we're dropping one guy home later on that night. And he starts spilling his guts out and starts saying, talking about his tragedies that have gone on around him with people dying and babies and, nephews and all that sort of stuff dying. Too many tragedies. And then he turns to us and he says, I want to be like you guys. He said that just before he got out of the car. But that's a safe place to say something like that. But it was just amazing for him just to hear the stories of Christians that sat around that campfire that night, and for him then to say, I want to be like you guys, was just amazing. So we just need to be able to give a reason for the hope that we have. And our reason, what's our reason for the hope that we have? Of course, it's Jesus. Jesus is why we have hope, why we can go on with the peace and comfort that Jesus gives us in this world that we often struggle with. Now, where was I? I was talking about being wise and our conversation as well. It says there, verse 6, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. And so the idea is that we have good words what to say. Okay, so we have the salt here. Back then, they seasoned their food with salt because there wasn't any refrigeration. It was the only way to keep their food from going off. And so to keep the food pure, that's what they did. And so with our conversation, seasoned with salt. We don't want our words going off. We want it to be edible food for people as we speak, and preserving our words, making it even tasty and attractive. That's how our conversation is to be. And with grace. Always full of grace. It might mean not going in for the kill. Often as Christians, we want to win the argument, but we often lose the war, don't we? And so we don't need to go in for the kill. We don't need to win the argument. It's often just being graceful in our conversations, being loving, doing what's best for the other person. And so being wise is sort of picking the right moments to say the right thing. And sometimes that might be not to say something at that moment of time as well. It's a message of love. It's got to be said in love as well, in a loving way. And so to reach outsiders in whatever walks of life we're in. We were reflecting actually the other day that the friends that we have, they're mainly non-Christian in Lightning Ridge. You know, we call, you know, some people in the police families there, you know, they're our friends because they're similar ages to us and got similar life circumstances to us. And we call them, and it's great because it's one of the first times that we've had non-Christian friends. You know, when we're in Sydney, when we were down here and at college, all our friends, they were Christian friends. We had very, you know, that's just the sad thing that happens. You know, as Christians, we put a bubble around ourselves. But we need to sort of look on the outside and build relationships with our friends. Okay, so often we come to how to do all this. And I just want to give three quick points of practical application, how we can do this. And RPA is what I've said. Many of you know Royal Prince Alfred, the hospital. But RPA, I want to tell you, stands for relationship. Okay, relationship, prayerfulness, and appropriateness. And I think what these three things do as we apply this passage in our lives, in our everyday lives, it helps us to relax about the whole task of talking about Jesus just in everyday lives. Because relationship, I think we need to build relationships with outsiders, with our friends who might not be Christians, with our family, okay, who might not be Christians. None of my family are Christians. We're about to spend 5 days with my family down on the South Coast. I'm freaking out about that. But it's about relationship, building relationships, even with your brothers and sisters and my parents and things like that. It's about building relationships. It's about being able to talk about Jesus in a natural setting rather than bashing down those open doors. That's where prayer comes into it, because praying for opportunities, and prayer is a central thing when it comes to sharing about Jesus. It's asking God to act in the souls of people. I can't act in a soul of a person. That's God's job, remember? I just share the message as God provides the opportunities. And so I think we can relax when it comes to that. It means that we can just be ourselves. And what are we when we're ourselves? Well, we want to be godly people. We want to be Christian people. Following Jesus. Just being ourselves. And praying for opportunities. It might be that someone says, you know, I want to be like you. Tell me how. You know, that's great. If that happens, then take it. This is a sad statistic that I think Jonathan shared earlier, but I heard it at men's convention, that 65% of people don't know a Christian. That's what people have said across Australia. 65% of people don't know a Christian. That's sad, isn't it? It's probably more likely that they don't know that they know a Christian. They probably know a Christian, but they don't know it. And so I think that there we need to be praying that we will live lives of light, but also that our actions are explained with words. And so that people can know that they know a Christian. They know that we live the way that we do because of Jesus. And of course, they don't know unless somebody tells them. The next thing is appropriateness. Appropriateness is just really simple. It's just using your common sense. It's a message of love. It's to be done in love. And so it's just picking the right moments at the right time as God gives us the wisdom to share about Jesus. It just means that praying for it to naturally come up in the conversation. We don't want to be like a Mack truck going 100 miles an hour and then changing into first gear and the conversation grinds to a halt. That's really uncomfortable. Okay? No, we're praying for opportunities to come up, and being appropriate might mean not saying something at that point of time. Friends, for all of us, it's the same. We need God to act. That's where we need to pray and be devoting and committing ourselves to prayer. Please pray for us in Lightning Ridge. But I want you also to be praying for yourselves Because we're all missionaries. You might not see yourself as a missionary. We're all evangelists. You might not see yourself as an evangelist. I don't really know what a gifted evangelist is. I suppose you don't know until you try it out. You don't need to worry about whether we've got the gift of it or anything like that. Just try it out. Give it a go. You might find out that you are. I don't know. But we can relax. It's not something that we just need to be ourselves in relation to the relationships that we have, praying for God to be opening the doors. And I think that's really exciting, especially as St. John's engages in Connect 09 and the things of this year. It's a great message, friends. I don't think we have anything to be afraid of or ashamed of. It's a great positive message. Think about Jesus All About Life. It's a positive message. Jesus is all about life. He's the one that gives us life. He says, John 14:6, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. No, that's John 10:10, sorry. He's also the way, the truth, and the life. Yeah, he came to give us life, life now, life in its abundance, to enjoy, to give thanks to him for the life that he does give us, a life of freedom, of forgiveness. It's a good life that we have. It's often hard, but in those hard times, we have a good God, a faithful God to call upon, to depend upon. Friends, even in our, as we don't know when we're going to die, but even in those last days, whatever they may be, I buried a fellow that I knew for 27 days last week. He became a Christian in those last 27 days of his life. At first, when I first met him, he didn't know, he wasn't scared of dying, but he was scared of what was going to happen afterwards. He feared what God was going to do with him afterwards. He just wasn't sure about going into heaven. And I just happened to be there. I just happened to be there. God provided the opportunity. And I was just that last messenger for him. I was in the privileged position of being the last one to tell him about Jesus. Because he'd known about Jesus. He'd known about how it is to get to heaven. But it never sunk in. He was able to quote John 3:16 to me, but he was still fearful of what was to come. He didn't have peace. He didn't have comfort. He didn't have hope. But yet, God provided the opportunity there for me to speak about the comfort that Jesus brings him. And so he died knowing Jesus. He was like the thief on the cross. Today will you remember me in paradise? And sure enough, that is what we can be assured of. It's a certain assurance. Because God had given him the comfort, the assurance, the joy, and the hope. Why? Because of Jesus. And so it's that good news message that that we need to be sharing. And it's a message that transforms lives. I've seen it transform lives. It's just a fantastic encouragement to see. Friends, let's put our words into action and let's pray now. And I'm going to be praying from that psalm that we read out earlier. Let's pray. But as for me, I will always have hope. I will praise you more and more. My mouth will tell of your righteousness, of your salvation all day long, though I know not its measure. I will come and proclaim your mighty acts, O sovereign Lord. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvellous deeds. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. And so, Heavenly Father, may that be true for each one of us, that as we live our lives following Jesus, that we would proclaim your mighty acts of salvation, your mighty acts that comforts us, that gives us strength, that gives us hope, that gives us joy. And Lord, may we be living that message out in our lives. In Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.